about what is it. And they continued to tell him, Michal called it Tehillim Balfour, and he didn't stand the test. So he turned, and he went back home. They took his coin, they came to the city of Ma'id, they conquered the city, and obviously no one they conquered the city of Laish Leshem, and they called the city Dun, after their father Dun, they were considered Dun, and they set up this Bokhara, and they rose to the throne. You see that I'm the same thing, yeah. All same of you. Well, Micho was fine. Micho took people into his house. They took the Avodazara, and the Avodazara was there. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, at the end of the parak, says, Kol Yemei Heyod Beis Elokim B'Shilo. All the days that the Mishkan was in Shilo. Chazal, there's an argument between the Mepharshim whether it means till the time of the Korban, say the time was worse than the Avodazara, or it means till the time that Shilo was destroyed, which is a few years from now, either depending on when this story took place. And we're sitting with only one Shevet. One Shevet was over the Avodah Zarah. The question is, where was Amishol? Why didn't Amishol do anything about it? Let's go back to that question in a few minutes. Perek Yosef begins with that same line. Vayi vayomim ahem umelech ein v'Yisrael. There was no king. There was a man, a lady, living at the outskirts of the mountains of Ephraim, down here, somewhere near Shilo. And he took a woman who was a Pelegesh. She came from Beit Lechem, down south. He took her for a wife, for a Pelegesh. He said a Pelegesh is either a woman that has without a Kedushin and without a Tshuva, or she has a Chlokit, Rashi, Ramban, and Megirsot. It's interesting to see the Akar Benel over here brings that Chlokit, and he says, Rashi, I don't know how great Rashi is, and that's what Rashi says. So, this means Pelegesh for the basis, Vashizne Olav Pelagso. She was zoned. Shot is, she went with other men. Now, as a Pelegesh, if they know their time together, okay, finish. That's a Pelegesh. They're not bound. But she was still his Pelegesh, and at the same time, she was openly seeing other men. That's shot. As I'll say, one of two sudden, there's a Makogis and a Gemara, Medrash, what happened? One shot says that women and the society women so today have this meaning. They used to make sure they have no hair by their private area. And in those times, if a woman had hair, then it was dangerous a man could become castrated when he was with her. And we're going to see that that happened to Amnon. Amnon in Tamar, Amnon got castrated when he was with Tamar. So one shot is that he was with her and he saw that she didn't say there was a hair there. And that endangered him. He almost castrated him. He got upset him. The other shot is that he found a fly in his pool. He found his pool. And Chazal say that one of the Amorah met Eliyahu, and he asked him, what's Rebbe Shom doing now? And he says, Rebbe Shom is learning the story of Pelegesh together, the story we just began. He said, oh really? And what does Hashem say, Shad is over there, what happened? And he said, Hashem says, Yehonah son to me, my son this Amorah says, Shad is like this, and my son this Amorah says, Shad is like this. So he asked Eliyahu, what happened? Hashem has a son, what happened? So he said, Elu velu de velu kimchai, both happened. When one happened, he didn't get upset. And when the other one happened, that's it. She got upset her, and that's when she left. So he got upset. She left him. She went to her father's house. She traveled south to Beit Lechem, and she's by her father for 4 months. Her husband goes after her. He wants to convince her to come back. She goes with a pair of donkeys and the lad, and she brings her to her father's house. Her father is very happy, and they stay together for 3 days. They eat, they drink, it's fine. Everything's good. On the fourth day, they get up early, and he starts going. He wants to go. So her father says, eat, come have a good meal, eat bread. When you're satiated, then go. So he succumbs. He remains. They eat together. They drink. And her father says, do me a favor. Stay tonight. You'll be in good spirits. And the man says, no, I'm good. And his father-in-law tells him, no, please, stay. Again and again, until finally he agrees to stay. The next morning, he gets up early, the fifth day already, and his father-in-law tells him, come, have a good meal. And they get delayed until it's afternoon. pay is getting late. Don't forget they have to travel, and for golfers, you should always travel leave early and camp early. Don't wait till the last minute, and that's one of the lessons we learned from this story. And the man gets up to go, and her father tells him, do me a favor, stay. Tomorrow you'll go out early, you'll go home. And the man wasn't willing. He was already delayed one day when he didn't want to, and got up and goes. They're traveling south. They're traveling north. They're down here in Beit Lechem, and they're traveling north to the mountains of Israel. They come to Yerushalayim, and the Navi calls Yerushalayim Yebus, city of Gentiles, the Yebus. That's one of the proofs that brought that this whole story took place in the very beginning of Shoftim before Yerushalayim was captured. The Rabbah Philip pushes aside that proof. Yeah, it was part of Yerushalayim that was only captured by David, and that's what the Rabbah said. One of the times. So they come upon that city, and it's getting dark. They left later than they had wanted. And the lad tells his father, let's return to the city of Jebusi, let's camp there. And his master tells him, we're not going to a Gentile city. We're not going to a city that's not from Am Yisrael. We're going to continue to the hill over there. There's a hill that can say that's done. We're going to camp there. So they continue. And the sun sets when they're by this hill. They're by the hilltop of Binyamin. They turn. They come to camp by the hill. And they're in the center of the city, main road. They're there, and no one's inviting them in. An old man comes from the field, and the man originally was from the same place. He was also from the mountains at the time. And he asks them, where are you going? Where are you coming from? And he tells them, we're on our way from Beit Lechem. We're on our way to the outskirts of the time. I want to go up to Shiloh to bring a carbon. He was living near Shiloh. There's a suit trucking whether he buys. He wants the man to say, oh, he's on God's permission, I'll help him, or he really meant to stop in Shiloh on his way up. And he told, look, I don't need you to give me food. I don't need you to give me pay. I have everything. I just need a roof to stay under, take me in. And the man says, no, I'll give you everything for money. The man takes him in. They give the donkey food. They wash. They start eating. They drink. And the people of the city, people who are amazed in the Ya'al, had no yoke of Hashem upon them, surrounded the city and started knocking on the door. And they told the old man who was in the Balabais, they told him, take out the man who came to you. We want to have relations with him. We want to raise him. The man comes out. He tells them, don't, my brethren, don't do that. This man came to my house. Don't do such a disgusting act. I'll give you my daughter, she's a virgin, she's a psula. I'll give you this tzilegesh, I'll take them out. You want to torture them, do to them what's fit in your eyes, what's good, but don't harm this man. Don't be such a disgusting man. Good question. Good question, I don't have an answer. They weren't willing to listen. Next time we take time to look something to you, and we'll be nine in the side. There's a lot to be nine. There's a Ramban in the story of both. The Kumish that discusses this part, but there's a lot to talk about. So the people didn't want to listen to it. And the man inside took his tzileges, and he took her out to them. And they saw her, they took her, and they had relations with her. And they like it solidly raw, they played around with her in a not nice way all night till the morning. And then they sent her Ba'alot Tashacha. And when the last time we have to discuss the term Alot Tashacha, what that means. The woman came in the early morning, she fell at the entrance of the house where her master was. Her master arose in the morning, we have to ask ourselves, was he sleeping or was he not? It says Vayakom, it doesn't say Vayakom. Vayakom means he arose. Well, what was he doing all night? He opened the doors to the house. He went out to go his way. He saw the woman, the Pelegas, falling at the entrance to the house. Her hand was on the top, the mantle, the entrance to the house. And he told her, arise, let's go. And there was no answer. He took her body on the donkey, and he went back, didn't say a word, traveled back to his hometown. He came to his house. Rashi says she didn't answer, she was dead. It doesn't say that in the book, but Rashi tells us she was dead. He took her to his house, he took a knife, and he cut her body into 12 portions. Now let's remember, Am Yisrael Shevet Yosef is divided to Ephraim and Manasseh, so aside from Binyamin, you have 12 other tribes. And he sent one piece to each Shevet. All who saw it were shocked, and they said nothing like this has ever happened since we left Ephraim. We have to figure out a plan, we have to do something. All of Am Yisrael gathered at a place called Mitzvah, which we've encountered a few times. Yud only went to the Mitzvah, that was the place where Am Yisrael gathered, but Hashem had revealed himself to them, and they wanted to figure out a plan. What are they going to do? You had 400,000 people who were soldiers who showed up. Shevet Binyamin. Now let's remember, not all the Shevets did. You had one built up at this. Shevet Binyamin heard that Am Yisrael gathered, and they didn't come. Am Yisrael asked what happened. And the man, this lady, we don't know his name, tells him, I came to the hilltop of Binyamin. I came with my Tzibeges, who wanted to rest there. The people of the hilltop arose. They surrounded me in the house during the night. They wanted to kill me. They tortured my Tzibeges, and she died. I took my Tzibeges. I cut her up. I sent her throughout the field, portions of Am Yisrael, because they did such a disgusting act. Am Yisrael, you have to figure out a plan. What are we going to do? The nation got unified, and they said, no one's going back to their tents. No one's going back home. We're going to take a tenth of the people. We're going to make a goral. A tenth is going to be responsible for providing food. One out of every ten is going to be responsible for arranging food for the rest of us. And we're going to Binyamin. We're going to take care of what happens. All of Am Yisrael gathered, says Pasuk Yud-Aleph, Ke'ish Echod Chaveri. And this is an important pasuk because we learn out from that a lot of things. Am Yisrael is unified. They sent messengers throughout Shevet Binyamin saying, what's this evil act that was done among us? Give over the people from that hilltop, and we're going to kill them, and we're going to wipe out the evil from Am Yisrael. And Shevet Binyamin was not willing to listen. Question, who is right? What do you say? All the years that I learned this, I said, wait a minute, what's wrong with Shevet Binyamin? Why didn't they agree? But let's think one step further. We have no witnesses. We have one man who arose and said a story. And based upon his story, all of Am Yisrael is going to war. Wait a second. Shevet Binyamin was right. Shevet Binyamin said, wait a minute, what are you all coming? You want to kill people based on what? Because one person claims something happened to you about the old man. The old man wasn't there. We don't hear the old man speak. And anyways, he didn't see anything. Hazal say, if you have two Jews running into a tent, and one walks out and his knife is dripping blood, and then you walk in and say, wait, he's dead. And the knife's dripping blood, but no one saw the murder. No one saw what happened here, or because we haven't yet seen testimony, we haven't yet seen a bedroom condition. So Hazal side with Am Yisrael. Hazal say Am Yisrael was right, that Am Yisrael had to wipe out, and we're going to see Hashem sided with Am Yisrael. But it's not so simple that Binyamin refused, because if you think about it, as the justice system has to work, Binyamin had a correct claim. They'd always say, what's going on here? Now, all this doesn't say, I'm saying, doesn't say that in the Bible. But Binyamin gathered, and they gathered to war. Chazal teaches that Binyamin were so powerful that each family in Binyamin was considered like a shaven. Binyamin said, our 10 of them and 10 of us. 10 Shvatim and 10 families of us will take from us. And the first time they went to war, you had 26,000 soldiers coming, aside from 700 who were so good with throwing stones that from a distance they could shoot a stone and hit a hair. That's how the Navi tells us. That's how good Shevet Binyamin were at throwing stones, these 700 people. And hit a hair from a distance. That's how good their aim was. A hair. Am Yisrael gathered, they have 400,000 people, 400,000 soldiers. They went up to Bethel, let's look on the map. Here we have Bethel, right? Bethel is here, Shevet Binyamin is down here. They went to Bethel, and they asked Hashem, who's going to lead us to war? Hashem says Yehuda should lead, they go to war. Binyamin attacks, Am Yisrael attacks, Am Yisrael loses 22,000 people. First day's war. 22,000 down. Am Yisrael gets ready to attack from the same vantage point. The answer then said, we continue going through one. Shem says, go. Am Yisrael approaches the second day. Binyamin attacks from the hilltop, and they kill another 18,000 people. What's going on? Chazal say, Ribono Shel Olam looked at Am Yisrael and said, we have two stories that happened. A whole Shevet went and worshipped Avodah Zarah, and no one reacted. All of Am Yisrael continued their daily life. One woman, something that's 100% not right happens, and all of Am Yisrael gets. Al Kavodi, Amayana Hashem says, Lo Mechizim, you didn't bother making a Machah, no one said anything. Al Kavodchem, but you feel this isn't humanitarian, this isn't right, Mechizim, that you're coming to worry about. Hashem says, I'm not with you. Am Yisrael didn't ask, am I going to win this war or am I not? Am Yisrael turned to Hashem and said, I'm going to war, who's going to lead the war? Hashem said, okay, ask me who's going to lead the war, you would always lead the war. Should I go again? Yeah, you didn't ask if you're going to win. After they saw that, they went back, they did two of them, they doubted. And who was leading them? Here the Navi tells us, Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron. The question is, why does it say, why is this Jesus? Because otherwise you say it's a different Pinchas. How do you live so many years? This is again, they're a doc. It's learning that 300 years have passed and Pinchas is still here. Pinchas was there. He was the boy who was asking during the Tumen. And they asked, should we go? And are we going to win? I think that you're going to win. Tomorrow I'm going to give them an interview. The weird thing, they attacked twice and lost. The third time Hashem said, you're going to win. Okay, so let's attack. Not what they did. This time they devised new tents. They prepared an ambush on the western front. They attacked from the eastern front. When Binyamin attacked them, they retreated. Binyamin thought they were going to win. The ambush arose from the west and came into the city. They destroyed the cities. They killed the men, the women, the children. And then they put the city afire. The people saw the flames going up. That was their sign. They turned back and they attacked Binyamin. And they killed Shevet Binyamin out, so you had 600 people remaining who ran out to the rocks, they ran out to the mountainous region. 600 people left in the whole Shevet. But this also teaches us something. But just because Hashem told them they're going to win didn't mean they weren't going to use tactics. They had Hashem told them they're going to win and they still used tactics. We're going to see more about this in the beginning, say the Shmuel. Being that we said we're going to see Shmuel, so I want to, being that we're short on time, we'll talk about this when Shmuel goes to anoint Avraham Avinu, as far as it's done. I don't think they were wrong in what they did. I just think we have to learn from it. Am Yisrael swore when they had gathered in the midst for the first time. When Am Yisrael gathered the first time in the midst, they swore, saying that they would not give, no one would give their daughter to the young. Before I said, no one's marrying into the young. And they also swore that if there's going to be one group of people that doesn't join them, if they don't join them to war against Binyamin, why were they upset Binyamin? They said, if you're protecting these people, you're equally counting. If you're protecting people who did such a thing, then you have to be wiped out together with them. And Am Yisrael regrouped after this war, and they came to Beisel. There's an important Radak. The Radak over here says that sometimes Shiloh is both Beisel. Shiloh is the house of Hashem, so Beisel doesn't always mean only Beisel, although it could also mean Shiloh. And they regrouped over there, and they cried. They cried before they went to war in Am Yisrael, and now after the war they cried. They asked, why Hashem, the God of Yisrael, was such a thing in Am Yisrael? And Shevet was almost wiped out. The next morning they took Seth and they brought Rabbanu. And then they started testing. Who did not come to this war? And they checked. Yeah. Good question. The question is, why did they have to build another Zeh? If they weren't Shiloh, they have to get there. If they weren't, they have to build another Zeh. I don't know that those are straight over here. I have to stress and then get there. They saw that the people of Yabesh Gilad had not sent representatives to fight the war. And they sent 12,000 soldiers, and they told them, why not the people of Yabesh Gilad? And they did. And they said, leave over only the women who have yet to be married. And how did they know? So Chazal said they used to put a girl on a barrel of wine. And if she was they would know whether she smelled, whether the smell came out or not, until she had to sue them or not. So they had 400 girls from people of Yavish Gilad that were still cool if they were never married. And they sent messengers to people of Binyamin hiding out in the rocks in the mountains. And they were hiding in a place called Sela Rimon. And they called peace to them, and they gave them the women that remained from the other killers. We still have 200 people left, and Am Yisrael was concerned. They had to rebuild the Shevet. They had to have the Shevet inhabit the land. They had to They didn't want Chase to be wiped out. So they didn't know what to do. So they're first. They said anyone that would give their daughter to the Yamen would be first. So they had a Yom Tov in Shiloh every year. Shiloh is north of Beit Shemesh, right? Shiloh up here. They used to have a Yom Tov that the women would go out and dance in the vineyard. And they sent a message to the people of the Yamen and they said, go and camp and see the girls dancing in the vineyard. And grab, each one of you will take a wife from the women and you'll take them back home. And when the people of Shiloh come to us and say, look, they took our women, we'll say, wait. The fact is, it's just your daughter, but they need wives and no one can give them a wife. And if you're worried that we first said anyone that gives them their daughter to the Yamen is going to be first, we didn't give them a gift. All we have to do is so they have to, like, didn't we all kill their wives? We killed their wives. And they have to be with them. And that's what they did. And Am Yisrael continued and chased the Yamen. It says the end of the Sefer, Vayishalachu Mishom B'nei Yisrael Be'itali Ish Veshito U'Mishpachto Vayitzu Mishom Ish V'Nachalofto. Each one went back to shave in his house. Last Pasuk in Sefer Shofim, Vayomim Horim Ein Melech Yisrael, there was no king. Ish HaYoshor Be'inoch Yad. Each one did what was written in that. Chazal say that these impression is that each story starts why there was a need for a king. And that's why this is an introduction to the next Sefer Shmuel, where we're going to meet our first king. And we're going to have to wonder why, if Am Yisrael was in such great need for a king, why was it kind of set on end for a king? And we'll talk about that next. We began with the end of Shemshon. And then we started Perek Yudzayin, a person from Shevet Zayin by the name of Mihoi. Parshim say, initially he was called Nichoyhu, more of Hashem's name in his name, because he started off the Shem Shemayim. And we dealt with the question, when do the last two stories of Sefer Shoftim occur? Are they written in the correct chronological order? Did they really occur at the end of the period of the Shoftim? Some of the Parshim say they occurred when Shimshon was in prison. Ain Nath we saw there was no king present because Shimshon was in jail. And we said that possible what happened in the very beginning of the time of the Shoftim, that's what doesn't say their own Rabban, that's what Rashi says. But we're going to ask some questions about that in a few minutes. So Micha's mother curses whoever stole those 1,100 silver from her, and he returns it to her, and she says, I promise I'm going to make it in Avodah Zarah for my son. And she gives him 200. 200 of the silver back. They take it to be molten into an idol, and they make an idol out of it. We discussed that there are different shittos what eifod and trufim are. The Parshim say that initially he didn't want it. He didn't want the idol. And she said, no, I want you to have it. And so he had it. And slowly but surely, Avera Gorer Savera, he started following it, and it became a Bozara, and he himself started to make more Bozara, the Eifel, the Trafim, and then he appointed one of his sons to be the Kohen, and things went downhill from there. Who was Micha? Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, when he saw the Jews working so hard, and every time they could not fill the quota, they could not make enough bricks, the Mitzrayim would take a Jewish child and put him in the wall in place of the bricks. So Moshe Rabbeinu was hurt terribly by that, and he turned to Hashem, and Hashem said, you should know, it hurts to see. But Hashem said, you should know that every child here, if he were to continue living, it would be bad and detrimental to him and to Am Yisrael in the future. And you want to see, take one out. And Moshe Rabbeinu took one baby out. And when Am Yisrael had to leave Mitzrayim, and they had promised Yosef they would take his coffin with them, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Nilus, to the Nile, and he couldn't find Yosef's coffin. And he took a piece of copper, and he inscribed in it Hashem's secret name, and he put it in the Nile, and the Aron floated. That little child that he took out from the bricks, his name was Micha. And that child was there. He took that piece of copper, and he kept it. And years later, now, if this story occurred in the very beginning of the time of Shoftim, so we're talking about 40 years of the Midbar, 14 years of Yoshua, So you're not going to have that many years later, you know, maybe in time. We don't know when that story with the bricks meant fire, when during the 400 years or 210 years that I'm told in the time it took place. But if we could say it happened towards the end, when Shaw left in time, so he had that, and according to some, that's how he made this idol work. He put that Shemam Pura, he put that piece of copper inside the idol, and the Satan was happy to help him, and that's why the idol, this idol was able to work. Because otherwise, you have to ask yourself, what was so special about this idol? This is the question that Nam Lois asked. Am Yisrael, this isn't the first time they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Why over here does the Navi go into such great detail explaining how there was one person, his mother lost these coins, they were stolen, he returned it, they made an idol. So one of the reasons is because this was extraordinary. And we're supposed to learn from this, Chazal say Nifa caused all of Am Yisrael to sin. Like you saw Shevet Dan, the whole Shevet does this to be their Avodah Zarah. And this is as a result of Nifa. Chazal asked, Nicha should be one of those lists that Jemal Chelek Volam Hapa to sin so tremendously and cause Am Yisrael to sin. As I'll say, because Nicha was a kind person, because Nicha Pito Mitzuyal Ovei Drach, he used to, like we saw two examples, that he was constantly searching to give people food, and from his own money he gave, that's why he still has Chelek Volam Hapa, and that's an important lesson. Look at it. So bad he should have no Chelek. Even so, because he was not Nisarchim, he still has a chelek. We discussed a little bit that his calling for Avodah Zarah was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to marry Yisro's daughter. Yisro said, I'll give you my daughter if you give me your first son to Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu married Yisro's first daughter. Now there are three shittos in the portion that I saw, what happened when Yisro told him that the first son has to go for Avodah Zarah. We said that Yonasan ben Gershom, this coin for Avodah Zarah, this lady who was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, why was he willing to work for Avodah Zarah? Because he had a Masorah, better do Avodah Zarah than have to come on to charity to people giving him the money. And he was mistaken. David HaMelech taught him the right shot, that what it meant was better do avoda, work, which is zara, foreign to you, that you're not even that adept at doing, work that you haven't been trained to do, but at least earn some form of parnasa, rather than need other people, not literally avoda zara. And that's why some portions say that Yisro is concerned. He looked at his son-in-law and he said, you're constantly going to work Hashem. I want your first son to do avoda zara. I want him to do work that is foreign from the work that you're doing. You're a man that's going to be question. I want your first son to be someone who's going to learn a parnasa. That's first shot, and according to that, Yonasan had this Masorah from Yitzchak, not from Moshe Rabbeinu. He had it from Yitzro. He had this Masorah still going back to Yitzro that he's supposed to do about the Zara. He misunderstood. As I'll say, David HaMelech told him, and we mentioned that he wasn't so adamant. He wasn't really one who wants to work for Zohar. People brought him a carbon, he'd say, nah, why waste so much money on this? Doesn't talk, doesn't hear, can't do anything. And the friend said, what do I do? He says, okay, make him take a little bit of flour, take a little bit of eggs, make something, and then he himself would eat it. And David HaMelech saw that he was one who was concerned for money, so he took him and made him in charge of of the king's wealth. And as I'll say, that's why in Divrei Yom he's called Shof El, because he returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name was changed, David HaMelech's time. That's one shot. Second shot that's brought is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Yisrael was an intelligent person who had searched throughout Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew it was a matter of time before he showed him that this wasn't the right way. Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is supposed to be my wife, I'll take her. And as I'll say, because he married him to a family that was of the Avodah Zarah, he had a grandson that was like this. And the third shot that's given is that Yisrael said, you're worshipping Hashem. If your children start that way, I don't want that. I'm opposite. I started off doing every Avodah Zarah in the world until I finally found the way to Hashem. I want your first son to do the same thing like you. I want him to search everything out and then come to be an Ovid Hashem. I want him first to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Don't bring him up as a given that Hashem is the right God. Let him question search. And the Parshim say that's why this story is written here, to show us that that was a mistake. that if a person is born to a Jewish home, you raise him Jewish. You don't say, okay, we have to leave everything open, we're going to teach him everything, we're going to leave him to search his own way and hope he'll find the right way. And that's the third shot that's given, that that was a mistake. There shouldn't have seen, that was not the correct approach, and this story is here to show us that. Shevetan, we saw that they took the Avodah Zarah of Michaz, and they took that to be their, Pesel Michal was there until the time of the low Taurus, until Am Yisrael went into exile. First of all, let's situate ourselves. Where was the Nachla that Shevetan captured? We said they went to fight a city by the name of Laish. Laish is Leshem, and they called it Zon. Now this, the Mvarshim say, is what today I think is known as the Chatzbani. It's the place where the Jordan, the source of the Jordan, that it's so way out north, it's the northernmost portion of Eretz Yisrael. That's why whenever we speak of Olam Yisrael, the description is Midon Vad Be'er Sheva. Don is this portion of Don that's way out north, at the very beginning of the Yarding. And the Major says they took this Avodah Zarah, and they placed it where the Yarding comes out, so that the waters of the Yarding be blessed. That's how Mipo was there. Now, the Radak asks a very strong question, which we'll take one step further. The Radak says, if we're going to read the Pesukim according to Pshat, that means that Shevet Don had Avodah Zarah in Shmuel's time, in Eli's time, in Dovid HaMelech's time, in Shlomo HaMelech's time. We won't talk about the times of the later kings of Melech, where there was Avodah Zarah in Avodah Zarah. How could it be Dovid HaMelech was king and there was Avodah Zarah in Avodah Zarah? Paul Shevet was forcing Avodah Zarah. For the same question about Shlomo, or Shmuel, or Eli. And we could ask that question on the other side. The Radak is the one that went to the Pshat, that this story happened at the end of the Shoftim. If we go with Rashi's Pshat, that this happened at the beginning of the time of the Shoftim, how could it be all the Shoftim were there, and they had Avodah Zarah, all Shevetan was worshiping Avodah Zarah? So a different answer is given. Some want to say that it means that Shevetan had a private exile. But there was a story that the Navi doesn't go into, that Shevetan was captured and they were exiled from that land, even though they captured it in Yotes, where we saw, they captured that land, they were exiled. Others want to say that this coin for Avodah Zarah, we say this Shuvah. When did he do Shuvah? In Dovid HaMelech's time. Dovid HaMelech brought him in front of him and asked him what he's doing, and he told him, this is the Masorah I am. Dovid HaMelech told him, no, that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, but it doesn't mean Avodah Zarah. So they want to say in Dovid HaMelech's time and in Shlomo HaMelech's time, this Avodah Zarah was non-existent. They stopped worshiping. And when Yeravam ben Nevat, as we're going to see later, wanted to make Avodah Zarah again, and he was Machti Am Yisrael, he placed Avodah Zarah in Don. Why? Because Don were already accustomed to worshiping Avodah Zarah, and that's when it restarted. A whole Shevet was worshiping Avodah Zarah and Am Yisrael since the end. And then the Navi comes, and the Navi gives us the story of Pilegesh Begiva. A man goes with his Pilegesh, she leaves him, he waits 4 months, he wants to see if she's pregnant. We say she was gone, she went with other men, so he wants to wait 4 months. Let's see what can happen with this. And after 4 months he comes to collect her, she takes him to her father's house. And her father wants to see that there's peace in the marriage, so he takes them in and gives them to eat and gives them to drink and wants to stay overnight. And he sees that they're more unified. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, by the fourth day the man wants to go. And the father says, wait, let's wait one more day. What was this day? This was Wednesday. The next day he tries to detain him. It was Thursday. Finally, Thursday afternoon, and the man, Friday afternoon, the man doesn't want to be detained any longer. He says, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay Friday. I'm going to stay Shabbos. I'm going to stay Shabbos. He packs the bags, he goes with his wife, it's late in the day, his Pilegesh, he said that the Pilegesh is either with Kiddushin or without Kiddushin, for sure without a Kluba, I'm not to show whether there's Kiddushin at all or not. And Friday afternoon he reaches the hilltop, and on Shabbos this terrible story happens Friday night, they want to take her. Some of the Farshim say they wanted her to begin, because if they would have wanted him, he should have sent out his lad in his place. Why did he send out a girl? And we ask, 1 second, what's going on here? So some of the parties say this elderly man who had taken them in, he was considered an honorable person on that hilltop. And being an honorable person, he knew they would never do it to his daughter. And that's why I said, take my daughter. They figured they'd never do it. His guest said, wait a second, he's taking me in. He's offering his daughter, no way. And he pushed his Pilegesh out instead. Who was right? Were Shevet and Yamin correct, or was Am Yisrael correct? All of the Mepharshim agree that Am Yisrael had no ground, if we read the simple Shulchan Aruch text, the simple halacha, to go to war with Shevet and Yamin. This was what's called the Oras Shah. The Tosefta says in Sanhedrin, bears him to hit, even though the halacha doesn't say to hit, and bears him to kill, even though the halacha doesn't say to kill. Bears him hit and kill sometimes because the hour is sitting. Because according to the time that a person did something, and according to the scenario in which it was done, if they don't punish severely, Am Yisrael is in the pool. There are two shittos in the Mepharshim that Am Yisrael was correct in this war or not. Even in this, we have a cloud which we're going to see throughout Tanakh and Yetzirah, and that is that sometimes an action is correct, but the one who does it doesn't have a right to do it. There's a mitzvah, hokeach hokeach tamizeh. You see someone doing something wrong, you have to tell me it's doing wrong. But first you have to check yourself. Am Yisrael is coming against one Shevet. And they're going to wait a second, according to some parshas. It's right. We have to abolish the evil from within Am Yisrael. Shevet Ben Yamin says, wait a second, it's our responsibility, not all of Am Yisrael. What are you all coming to war? You heard one side, you didn't hear the other side. You heard one side, not in the presence of the other side. You can't go and kill people for that, and we have to take care of it, not all of Am Yisrael. When parshas say Am Yisrael didn't even ask Hashem, should we go to war? They just said, we should lead to war. Ron Shon said, you asked him, we should lead to war. Yehuda is always the one that leads. Yehuda should have led you to war against Shevet Dan when Shevet Dan was worshiping Avodah Zarah. And that's why Yehuda can be the first to be punished for the fact that you're not fit to go against Shevet Ben Yamin. You have to be correct with yourself before you can go and chastise someone else. The Navi ends with a reminder that there was no king. And sometimes when we see something as evil as the story of Gilgamesh Begeva, we say that's terrible. But sometimes we have to be reminded that it's showing us the Yotzei Min HaKlal, that all of Am Yisrael said that's terrible too. That all of Am Yisrael said this man lost his wife, he has no tent to go back to, no one's going back to their own tent, 400,000 people were in agreement, no one's going back home until we take care that such a thing never occurs again. The people of Sodom had a law. The law was when guests come to our town, we make sure they don't come again. We torture them. We see that that doesn't happen. They weren't, in the heat of the moment, overtaken by Yetzer Hara. The people of Sodom were a people whose law was to be evil. The people on the hilltop were not with the law to be evil. On the heat of the moment, they were overtaken. You did not have a situation where you had a whole city. You had the elders and the youngsters coming. You had Anshet Nate Liao. You had people who were the worst of the city united in coming against this person. Those are a few of the differences between Sodom and Egypt. Just because on the surface it seems similar, so I want to point out a few things that are different. And the fact that Am Yisrael, without a leader and without a king, was clear in their intent that evil does not rest in their midst, shows us that Am Yisrael was not on a low level. You had a few that were exceptions, but they were not. Any questions? No?